Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this Pentecost Sunday. It is 50 days from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're just really glad you're with us here today. This pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon us all. So hopefully you can all feel that. You know, the weather's been good. The weather's been warming up. You know, the trees are blooming. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk about something today. You know, nobody wants to hear that they're not doing enough. And nobody wants to hear that, you know, we're kind of like stuck in a certain way spiritually. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you know, I've been, my wife has been running point on this SaveNazareth.com program that we've been involved in, and you know, all efforts to with the city of Kalamazoo, with the city council have failed. They do not see any value in the history of Kalamazoo, which is quite obvious. And you know what? Many people don't find any value in our history. And I tell you, I think we've really. You know, I've been written on our website, that we've lost our minds. And I really do believe we have. I think we've lost our minds. I think we've lost our hearts. And a certain part of us, for some of us, I think we've lost our souls. I really do. You know, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear the tough words. You know, it's just like the management people at the Sisters of St. Joseph, as well as in Cleveland. You know, I think they're just, it's insanity. It really is. And, we'll see how that unfolds. You know, I think they have from, you know, pretty much free rein now, barring a miracle or them coming back to the bargaining table. I think those buildings are going to get destroyed. So if you want to call out there or do whatever you want, you know, feel free to, but, you know, get a yard sign, but I think it's very sad, my brothers and sisters. You know, we pick our time and point and time in history, right, to choose to do the right thing, to make a stand. And those points for us, my brothers and sisters, come at all different times in our lives. You know, when we're called to do the right thing, to stand up for something or for someone, to defend someone or something, but also to tell the truth, too, to tell the truth to people. And I think for so many years, especially the very liberal side of the Catholic Church, we've done nothing. We've done nothing to say, you know what, you're heading down the wrong path. This is wrong. You know, it's virtually impossible to be for abortion and be Catholic. And that's the truth, my brothers and sisters. You cannot be for the killing of children or for the killing of old people or for euthanizing people and still be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's lots of people who are listening to me right now who aren't Catholic, you know, and they think, well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I can do whatever I want to with my body. And the answer to that, my brothers and sisters, is not true. It's not true. You cannot do with your body whatever you want to do because we are connected to Christ through our baptism. We are directly connected to Christ through our baptism. And we're going to read about that in the scripture readings today. And I will show it. It's right there. The problem is we're afraid to talk to each other about these difficult subjects. These are very difficult things. But we go, we think, oh, well, you know, it's okay if they think that way. It's all right. It'll all work out in the end. Maybe not. You know, it didn't work out very good in the Holocaust either. You know, and there's probably plenty of times where we should have stepped in a lot sooner and we didn't. You know, and we think about that. This is our day and time. And thanks be to God we did step in when we did step in. World War II, you know, think about the millions of lives that we saved because we did. Yes, there was lives lost, but my brothers and sisters, we have to stand for something. We have to stand for something, and we have to do it in a gentle and kind and loving way. You know, I often think of Jesus with the woman at the well and how he had a conversation with her, talked about it, but he didn't soften anything up. He talked and spoke the truth. And he spoke the truth in love. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, very, very many of us, Christians, Catholics, I'm sure Jews, Muslims, believers, non-believers, we are lost. When we see no value in that beautiful building out there on Gaul Road, when we find no value in that and no one willing to fight for that, then we are lost. We are really, really lost. And the problem is that treasure is not going to be left to our ancestors, our brothers and sisters, our children and our grandchildren. It's not going to be left to them. And they'll look back on this day, yeah, and in 2019, they demolished it. And the city did nothing about it. And the religious people did nothing about it. There were a handful of people who stood up. A handful or two that stood up and did something about it. So my brothers and sisters, I invite you to go to SaveNazareth.com. Read all about it. See everything that we've done. All the letters that we've sent. We've sent letters to the Apostolic Nuncio. We've sent letters to Rome. We've sent letters and emails over and over again to the management of the Sisters of St. Joseph as well, in Kalamazoo and in Cleveland and in many other locations. And we don't hear anything. We hear zero. They don't respond. Okay? So there's your transparency, and I don't know what else you want to call it, but that's, you know, people talk about, you know, wanting transparency. There should be transparency, right? Well, you know, if you're in charge, if you're the boss, you know, sometimes there's no transparency, and it's very sad. It's very sad. You know, parts of the church is just run like a big corporation, and not a nice corporation at that. And it's very sad. Very sad indeed. But you know what? We need to talk about it. We need to call it what it is. We need to be honest, and we need to be transparent, and we need to talk about these things openly and honestly. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse. Because the culture, my brothers and sisters, is full of lies. It lies to us day in and day out. And we have some of that in the church too, because there's human beings in the church. But it's not a wonder that we're in the shape that we're in today. So I'm not sorry about going on about that, all of that, because it fits perfectly in with the scriptures and the Holy Spirit. And who is making the decision? Who is doing our thinking for us? Is the Holy Spirit? Are we letting Jesus, are we letting God into our hearts and our minds and into our lives and into our decision making? Or do we just ignore the Holy Spirit and we go along with the status quo, or we go along with what management tells us to do? You know, this is a big part of just like this, the Me Too movement. You see what has happened. We've talked about this for months. It's, you know, the abuse that happens in the church, the abuse that happens inside corporations, inside universities, detention centers, juvenile detention centers, okay? They need to, you know, the state police need to raid the records of the school teachers and the school professors, you know, confiscate those records. Treat those organizations just like you treat the diocese, the Catholic diocese, you know? Why don't they do that? See? But what they do is they do things for political purposes, see? Concentrate politically on this group or that group to show who's boss and who's in power. But the problem is, my brothers and sisters, there is a tremendous amount of lying going on. A tremendous amount of lying. And it's very sad. And it's very sickening. And it's amazing that God hasn't just wiped us all out. Okay? He created us. I didn't will myself into existence. God created me and he created you. And someday we will stand before him, every single one of us, and he will judge us on what we did. Not what God did, But what we did in this world to and for and against our brothers and sisters and not caring for them, but just caring for ourselves and what we want. So we're going to go right into the readings. My name is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And we're glad you're with us here today on this Pentecost Sunday. These are the Mass readings during the day on Sunday, this Sunday, on June 9th, 2019. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. This is Acts 2, 1 through 11. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues of fire, which parted and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed. They asked, "Are not these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of these mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading there. Our second reading today is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 7, and then 12 through 13. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 7, and 12 through 13. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though is many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we are all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I hope you heard that, my brothers and sisters. One body. We are one body. All of the baptized, one body. Yes, we are one body in humanity as well, indeed. But we're going to go into that, this Holy Spirit, this gift that we receive, baptized into Christ. And so here we go, and to our gospel reading today. Our gospel reading is John 20, 19 through 23. That's John 20, 19 through 23. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retained are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. So some beautiful readings, my brothers and sisters, and of course that gospel reading is right after the resurrection of Jesus. And then this other one, we go back to the Acts of the Apostles, and of course there's this coming of the Holy Spirit, which is this actual day today, which is this coming of the Holy Spirit. We think about that, and I think about that, of the amazing things, you know, that have happened in the last month here. You know, I think about this for my family, for myself, my wife, you know, with this SaveNazareth.com. Go to the website, check it out. But you think about that, you know, that the Lord had put this on us to try. See, not necessarily to succeed. It's for God to succeed, right? But to try. This is the key, my brothers and sisters. We don't just try to do things for Christ because we're going to be victorious. We try things for Christ because that's what Christ wants us to do. That's what the Lord wants us to do. It's not about winning the fight. The fight is won. The fight is won. Christ has died for us on the cross. He has risen from the dead, and he has poured out his Holy Spirit upon us. We are victorious. Victorious over death. There is nothing they can do or anyone can do to me or any one of us baptized Christians who have been baptized into Christ. And in a very powerful way, my brothers and sisters, when we do these things, not for gain, not for glory, but we do these things, we try to do the right thing because that's what God wants us to do. Do you understand that? That's what God wants us to do. That's what the Holy Spirit calls us to do. And so this is all about the Holy Spirit, all of these. The Spirit being poured out in one place together upon all the disciples. The tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit resting on the disciples the morning of Pentecost. And a promise which is fulfilled from the first on Easter Sunday, the resurrection, then more strikingly at Pentecost. And then we have all of these readings from 1 Corinthians. So beautiful. 1 Corinthians 12. That the Holy Spirit reveals who Jesus is. God raises Jesus from the dead. Jesus is Lord. And to say that is to believe in Jesus' divinity. That Jesus is God. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We see that in our profession of faith, but we also see that in prayer. And you know, many people will say to me, "Well, God, you know, God abandoned me, or I don't have anything to do with God, or God doesn't help anybody anymore." And I ask them, "Do you pray? Do you pray?" "I don't pray." "Oh, so you don't talk to God. How do you expect God to talk to you if you do not talk to God?" Do you want me to say that again? How do you expect God to talk to you if you do not talk to God? Do you see that? You hear that? It is you. It is me. We are the ones. We are the ones who are lacking. We are the ones who are the cowards. We are the ones who are afraid. We are the ones who will not fight. We are the ones who do not have the courage to fight. God pours out His Spirit to us. All we have to do is open our mouths. You know the old saying, you can dump water over somebody's head over and over and over again, but if they don't open their mouth, they will not get a drink of water. So you can be baptized. Oh yeah, I was baptized. I was baptized. Sure. Yeah, I was baptized. I'm a Christian. I'm saved, covered by the blood of the Holy Spirit. Maybe, you know, all that. I looked up to heaven. Yeah, I'm all set, but I don't need to go to church and I don't need to do anything and I can live any way I want. Well, I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're preparing for, heaven or hell, but I think you could probably figure it out on yourself. On your own, where you think you might be going. Okay? We must do righteous works. And those works are the works of Christ. You understand that? Just like when we say Jesus is Lord, just like when we say the name Jesus, Jesus is Lord. We say that because God has given us His Holy Spirit. And we have the righteousness to say it. But do we have the righteousness to act on it? To do what is right? To write a check out for $1,000 to the soup kitchen downtown, Kalamazoo Gospel Mission, here ministry with community, here's $1,000. And do that every year. Or if you have the means, do it every month. Do you do righteous deeds? Not just with money, with your time, donating your time, helping people, knowing people, maybe even in your own family. And I'm not talking about enabling people. God forbid that. You'll do them more harm than good. But helping someone, knowing someone that needs drug or alcohol rehabilitation and they don't have the money, and giving them the money and getting them, not giving them the money, but paying for the rehab. Paying for it. Now, if it's not successful, that doesn't matter. See? It's just like the Nazareth thing. It doesn't matter. They run bulldozers through that building. We win, no matter what, because Christ has called us to fight for it. It's God's decision whether it is won or not, whether it is saved or not. But we must do righteous acts. And what could be more clear than saving a church? Right? Saving a beautiful chapel. Saving a beautiful building. Saving a part of our history. If we don't have value in these things, my brothers and sisters, what do we value? What do we love? Do we love it all? Do we love it all? See? It's a hard question. I understand that. But there's plenty of preachers, there's plenty of people you can talk to, tell you a bunch of stuff you want to hear. I'm going to tell you a few things you don't want to hear. People tell me things I don't want to hear. It helps me. It helps me a lot. God tells me things all the time, especially who to apologize to. Say you're sorry for this. Say you're sorry for that. Do better here. Do better there. Don't say this again. Don't say that again. Right? So we must listen to God rather than men. And this water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized with this water, we are made to drink of one Spirit. Baptism, sharing in the body of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is this saving action. And then it continues on. A little piece of scripture, there's about 20 different passages in the catechism on this small piece of 1 Corinthians. It's just amazing. Baptism purifies us, justifies us, and sanctifies us. We put on Christ. Not ourselves, Christ. We put on Christ. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jesus Christ. Those who receive the Eucharist. This is very important, my brothers and sisters, because there is a difference between one Christian group and another. As Catholics, we are the original Christians. Bar none. No, anybody can challenge that, and that's fine. But if you go through, do your history work, you will find we come from the original Jesus Christ. The laying on of hands of these apostles, and those very apostles laying on in succession all through time, close to 2,000 years, to the bishops, the priests, the deacons. See? Ordained. The ordained priesthood. So listen to this. Those who receive the Eucharist are more closely incorporated into Christ. We must work for unity. Now you think about that. Receiving the Holy Eucharist, receiving Holy Communion every week, every day if you can. Go to daily Mass. You know, churches every day. Every day there's the Mass, the Holy Mass is celebrated. God is the first cause. We are the second. Think about that. You didn't bring yourself into existence. God did. You may even say, well, my parents did. No, God did. God brought them into existence. And all these charisms work together for the common good. And then finally, the gospel. Some of these are some of these praises. Some warned him, some hated him. The Jews, the people of Jesus' time. Some of them praised him, some of them warned him, and some of them hated him. The disciples were demoralized, not believing that Jesus had risen. They were afraid. And then this, by means of touch and sharing of a meal, the risen Jesus establishes direct contact with his disciples and invites them to see that he is not a ghost. Go to communion. Come back to the church. Pray, my brothers and sisters, pray. And if you have a chance this weekend, you know, look at the website, savenazareth.com. Please help if you can. Sign the petition. Send letters and notes, because I'm afraid, my brothers and sisters, they'll probably start destroying those buildings and that beautiful chapel in the next month or two. It's very sad. It's very tragic. It's really a sickness. And it just is a horrible thing. I think it's probably, if it does happen, it will be one of the most horrible things that's ever happened in my life to witness this. The uncaring of a community, the uncaring of a religious order, and just the, just, it's horrible. It's very horrible. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, be in prayer. Pray your rosary. I know I pray my rosary every day, multiple rosaries, and just keep praying and hoping, asking for the intercession, especially the intercession of Saint Joseph and Our Lady of Fatima. We will be praying this Thursday, the 13th, June 13th, out on Gall Road, in front of Nazareth on the sidewalk. We will be praying out there from 11 o'clock till noon. So I hope you can come and join us in peaceful prayer, and just to pray and ask, that this beautiful historic chapel and historic buildings be saved. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. Have a great day.